8:02 on a Thursday, final hour of the show here on a Thursday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, and judging by the ratings, you have not, you know that the final hour of this program is presented by two of our favorite companies. One gets us around the city in a car. The other one gets us around the city on foot. The first, the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. By now, I feel like all of our listeners, the tens of you out there, know that there are three locations. So I don't even need to say where they are. I just need to tell you to go experience the Dilawri difference today, and you'll go do it. Now, you got to tell the people about Kintec and your orthotics.
This hour of Halford and Bruff is brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Mine did. So I went to see Kintec, and now they don't hurt. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net.
Our next guest is on the road, which is fitting because he has a presentation of Freeway Mazda. It's Dan Murphy here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Murph?
What's going on, fellas? I'm a commuter this morning.
How's the drive?
It's good. Yeah, driving out to Abbotsford. The sun's starting to peek through. There hasn't been any traffic. I did hear on the updates that there was an accident in Abbotsford, but it was going west. So hopefully it'll be all smooth sailing all the way out.
So the Canucks are going to hit the ice soon in Abbotsford. They're going to be down seven, I'll call them familiar faces. Obviously, Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes at the top of that list, but Horvat's not going to be there, or at least he wasn't yesterday. Sutter, Hamonic, Bailey, Mott. So it's going to be a collection of new faces, and there's going to be some old faces missing. What are you kind of zoning in on or focusing in on, Murph, as you head out to Abbotsford for the first day officially of on-ice training camp stuff?
Well, for me, hopefully Horvat's there. I know he was feeling under the weather yesterday, and they were taking precautions, but I would say that, you know, Travis Green, the way he sets up camp a lot of times is predictive of what he wants to do. So if he sees something he likes, the way he sets it up early, he tends to stick with it. Case in point, Hoglander last year. So one thing I'm really interested to see is who is going to be on Bo Horvat's wings. That's kind of one thing at camp that I think with Noah Pettersson and no Hughes at this point. That's one thing I'm very interested in. Will it be Garland? Will it be Hoglander again? Will Pearson be up there? Because I think pretty much when Green goes with something and he likes it, he sticks with it straight through. So if Horvat's there, that's kind of one thing I'll look at. And I do want to see how Ekman Larson looks, what the defensive pairings might be as well. And, you know, I don't think there's a lot of camp battles in terms for roster spots, but you know, we know the third defensive pair, the left side, we have to have a look at. We also want to see who might be on the fourth line, who has a leg up in that, if there's any dark horses. So there's a few things I want to check over the next couple days.
How much does the absence of Hughes and Pettersson and a few other guys throw a wrench into Travis Green's training camp plans?
I think it's a huge wrench. I mean, you heard him talk about it yesterday, especially being down. Pettersson for sure, Sutter for sure, and Horvat maybe. Well, there's three of his four centers right there. So you're not going to get a very good look at lines or chemistry or what you might want to try when you don't have three of your projected starting centers. So I think that more than anything throws a wrench in. And you know, I thought that he was pretty diplomatic yesterday. Being a former player, he knows these things happen. But as a coach, he certainly wants guys there for the entirety of camp. He wants them available for the preseason. He wants them to be able to hit the ground running and to have a good start because, let's face it, last year in the shortened season, they had a terrible start and they were never able to catch up. So I think it throws quite a big monkey wrench into his plans, actually.
We're speaking to Sportsnet's Dan Murphy here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Murph is on his way out to Abbotsford for the start of on-ice stuff at training camp from Abbotsford. We focused a lot on the players, Murph, obviously, but I want to stick on Travis Green here for a sec. Every time I look at this and then say it out loud, it blows my mind. He is the seventh longest tenured head coach in the NHL right now. The only guys that have been at their jobs longer are John Cooper, Paul Maurice, Jeff Blashill, Mike Sullivan, Jared Bednar, and Bruce Cassidy. That's it. So by NHL standards, Green is a well-tenured and a veteran head coach. With all that said, how important is this season for Travis Green? Because there's that looming specter of how bad last year was. There's the anticipation that on paper this team is going to be better. And if it's not, oftentimes, as we know in the NHL, if the expectations fall short, it's the head coach that bears the brunt of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's pressure. I know he has some term now on his contract. You guys can tell me if you're wrong, but I think that the year in the bubble, I mean, Green got a fair amount of praise for his coaching, for his tactics, for the changes he made in those series. And he was, given credit where credit was due. I don't think I heard a lot of people blaming Green for last season. Certainly, he'll take some of it, but for the most part, I think it was circumstances, injury, and this is what more, I'm just saying what most people felt. The blame was not really put on his shoulders. Now, that said, he's got a really good-looking forward group. He's got a defense that he thinks is much better. He's got a defenseman, an OEL, that he thinks is his replacement for Edler in terms of a guy that's going to play 23, 24 minutes a night. So I think with the pieces he has now, there's heat on the coach to perform. Now, not that there wasn't pressure before, but I think that with all the chips in the middle from the GM is looking squarely at the coach as well. And you're right. I mean, if something changes in a season, it's usually the coach. He does have protection with the contract, but I think this is really where the pressure ramps up for Travis Green.
What do you think how do you think he wants the Canucks to play? Because we were discussing this earlier.
Well.
Thank you, Halford. Why don't you just turn your mic off for a little bit?
Done.
Okay. Because they need to be better defensively. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But I don't think they want to be a quote-unquote like conservative defensive team, especially not with their forward group, because their forward group is arguably the strength of their team. So it's kind of a fine balance there where you don't want to tell your defensemen like, okay, both of you guys stay back. You're not joining the rush because you're playing defense and only one man in on the forecheck because we're going to keep a bunch of guys back. But at the same time, there's no doubt the Canucks have to be better structurally than last season, where at times, frankly, they look like a beer league team out there.
Yeah. I think that they last year at times they played a system that he probably didn't want to play. Probably tried to dumb it down, tried to play defensive hockey to keep games low scoring, because at the beginning, remember, it was fire wagon hockey to start, especially some of those games against Montreal. So I do think that, obviously structurally they want to be better defensively, but I do think he always says they want to play a fast game. Now, you don't have to be fast to play fast, but it certainly helps. And they have some better skaters, some quicker players, some faster players this year. I think he wants to be a transition team. I think he wants to be a team that moves the puck up the ice quickly and make plays that way. I also think he wants to be a more direct team when it comes to forechecking and puck retrieval. And I think that you're going to see the makeup of his lines in reflecting that in terms of having some guys finally that will go to the net, will go to the corners in the Podkolzins, the Dickinsons, the Garlands. So, I he always says play a direct game, but I think they want to be a transition team. I think they want to play fast. I think they want to get the puck up ice to forwards and let them go to work. That's easier said than done. But some things you can say about OEL, he has been a pretty good at puck retrieval in his career. Quinn Hughes is certainly good at that. Hamonic is fairly solid at that. Rathbone is an offensive thinker. So I think they have the defenseman to play the offensive type of game he wants to play. Whether they can play structurally defensively when they need to remains to be seen.
Yeah, the forecheck is going to be interesting to watch, because I hope at least that they're a faster team in the bottom six than they were last season. I'm curious to see if Will Lockwood makes an impression, because his game is forecheck. It's kind of like that relentless puck pursuit type of game. He's kind of a dark horse in my mind to make the team, especially with Tyler Motte being out. How long is Motte supposed to miss? Do you know anything about that, Murph?
Well, I mean, Benning just said yesterday that they hope he's ready for the first game of the regular season. To me, that screams that they're certainly not optimistic that he'll be ready for then. He's not going to skate with the main group. My understanding is rehabbing. I don't know if he's on ice yet by himself or with some injured players. But if the Canucks are saying they're hoping for October the, what, is it the 12th or the 14th? I don't even know. 12th? I would think it's probably that's very, very ambitious. Conservatively, perhaps I would say probably a week or two after that. But I haven't had any conversation with Mott since his surgery, so I can only go by what the team has said.
How much catch-up are you going to have to play over the course of this training camp? Because, you know, Bruff and I were talking about it this morning, trying to remember exactly who is in charge of the Canucks' power play right now. We're like, you know, you just don't have the same media availability that you used to. You're not around the rink. You're not talking to guys on a daily basis. Everything last season and in the offseason was done via Zoom. And in your case, not only do you need to kind of get up to speed with all the guys on the Canucks roster and the new coaching staff and everything, there's an entire American Hockey League team that is now in your backyard. So I think I would imagine you're going to be even more responsible to know the ins and outs of the AHL Canucks as well. So there's a lot, I would guess, there's a lot of catching up to do over the course of the next 48 to 72 hours.
Oh, for sure. But the one thing that's good is that the Canucks are trying to make it more normal. It's not going to be Zoom interviews. There are stations to do your interviews, you know, safely, socially distanced, but with the boom mic. So you can at least see the players face to face. You can talk to them. You can chat with them. And that's kind of the stuff I really missed last year. That's where you get some of the stories. That's where you find out some good information, because if you have a scoop or something, you can't really do it on Zoom because then everybody else has it. So I'm really looking forward to kind of getting back in the room, so to speak, because not all teams are doing this. And that's the best way to kind of get acclimated and get to know some players. Because it was a little disappointing that last year and never got to, you know, talk to, you know, Nate Schmidt face-to-face or Braden Holtby face-to-face. He never did it once. And I'm just looking forward to having, you know, it's not totally normal. Let's make that clear, but it is far more more normal this season than last season.
Murph, before we let you go and continue on your trek out to Abbotsford, we're going to go completely off the grid here, but we were talking about this last night. J.J. Redick, longtime NBA sharpshooter from beyond the arc, announced his retirement earlier this week. And as you teased it via text, I don't even know what this is all about, but there's a story involving J.J. Redick and Canucks play-by-play man John Shorthouse that you have in the chamber here?
I do. And since he retired, great shooting guard from Duke, excellent career. The Canucks were in Dallas, and I'm going to try to get the details right, but it's very close to this. I believe it was a game day, and our friend John Shorthouse was, after the morning skate, going over to a sandwich shop, I believe it was Potbelly's, to get himself some lunch. And while he was there, standing in line, waiting to place his order, the creep Shorty starts to eavesdrop on the people behind him, because he hears a guy saying, "I'm not happy. They know I'm not happy. I've told them that it's time. I'm an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season." You know, just some conversation from someone who's clearly a player in some sport who's not happy with the situation and has asked out. And so Shorthouse, you know, glances around, takes a look what the guy looks like, gets back to the room, gets on his computer, sees who the Mavericks are playing. Next, and the next day, they're playing the Orlando Magic. He goes to their website. He goes through the players, and he sees that it's J.J. Redick. So he could have had a Woj bomb, because the next day, right after the game against the Dallas Mavericks, J.J. Redick was dealt in a multiplayer trade to the Milwaukee Bucks. So Shorty could have scooped everybody and all the insiders in the NBA if he only had a Twitter account, which he does not.
Right.
So that's my J.J. Redick story for today.
What a creep Shorty is.
Maybe it's good he's not on Twitter.
And one more thing.
Yes.
And one more thing. You know this whole Blue Jays pitching card thing?
Yeah. The stolen data card.
This is similar, but not quite the same. When the Canucks were in Winnipeg, I always get these little studios, and sometimes it's kind of weird. It's a second change room or something like that, you know, where they put my equipment and monitors and stuff. So I was in the Manitoba Mooses visiting team, AHL teams. No, I was in the Moose's dress room. So, I went to, as the Greek freak would say, take a tinkle. And above the urinals, they had the scouting reports for the opposing goaltenders that night or the night before, whenever the game was. So when the players went into the washroom, they could check out the weaknesses of the opposing team's goaltenders. So I thought that was kind of cool on a similar vein.
We did. You remember this?
I thought all scouting reports were like, number one, pucks in deep.
Yeah.
Well, number two, yeah, exactly. Win the battles.
It's funny you mention that because back when we were working for the Curtain blog, Ron Wilson was the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs at the time. And you know how I thought Babcock made it en vogue, but apparently it happened earlier. Putting the card over your mouth to cover what you're saying on the bench because you think the TV cameras might grab it. So Ron Wilson did that and had his card upside down. So we freeze framed the television, took a picture, and turned it upside down. And we're like, we thought it was going to be all this great strategy. It was like, check Brian Gionta and, you know, be aware of Scott Gomez. I was like, what? Like, why did you need to write this down on a piece of paper in case you forgot? It was unbelievable. But it goes to show that sometimes these things aren't as advanced as we think they are.
That's why I always like those documentaries on behind the scenes coaches. Like, you're like, you think there's going to be some dramatic tactical change that they'll make if a team is losing, but it's really just him, like, basically he might as well just be reading what people are saying off Twitter, just like, you guys were terrible in that period, you guys better figure it out.
And even last year, just out of habit, the coaches have their masks on and they're still putting the cards up over their mouth.
That's right too. Hey Murph, I know you're on a drive out there. We'll let you focus on the road. Be well, be safe, get out to Abbotsford. Okay, enjoy training camp, and we will do this again next week.
You got it, boys. Have a great day.
Thank you. Dan Murphy on Sportsnet 650 was brought to you by Freeway Mazda, Canada's number one consumer-rated Mazda dealer. This is on a note sheet that Dom is this read, and Dom has also put a picture of Mr. Bean flipping me the bird at the bottom of it, which is nice.
Why?
We have this thing where whenever Dom tells me to do something, I nod, but then I give him the double cannon, double fingers, and I shake them back and forth like I'm doing right now.
Okay.
And then Dom said, stop doing that to him. And I said, no, I saw you do it once, and now I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. He's like, you don't even know what the reference is, man. And that's it. It's Mr. Bean. So there you go. We all learned a little something today, which is great. We have a lot more to get to on this program. It's what we learned time. Speaking of what we learned, get yours in. Dunbar Lumber text line. That's the Smalt alternative. Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver or online at dunbarlumber.com. That number is 650-650. If you send your text in and you hashtag it WWL and it's good, you know what? It doesn't even really have to be that good. You will get a chance to be on the radio. That's how this thing works. So do what we told you and also continue listening to this radio station. It's Halford, it's Bruff, it's Sportsnet 650.
You're listening to Halford and Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Our Regal Grooming Lounge poll question. Who has a better chance of making the playoffs? Is it the Blue Jays, who are no longer in a wild card spot?
They're 0.5 games out.
It's half a game.
I just want to be very accurate. I was very inaccurate yesterday.
Okay.
In doing all my Blue Jays stuff.
They finally lost a series. They lost the rubber match.
That's a baseball term.
To Tampa Bay. I think it's a bridge term, too. Yeah.
Bridge. The
like the board game?
The card game with the pegs?
Yes, bridge the board game. The card game.
Card game with the pegs?
I don't know how to play bridge. That's not, it doesn't
That's
have pegs.
Crib.
That's crib.
Oh, crib. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know how to play any of these games. I got mocked the other day when I was hanging out with my buddy. Sorry, I just interrupted your read, but it's fine. For not knowing how to play chess. Because I don't know how to play chess.
That's pretty lame.
Do you know how to play chess?
Yeah.
Damn it. His 10-year-old kid knew how to play chess.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I'm like, what does the horse do? I don't know.
Does his kid play chess during or like between his violin lessons? Is that?
No, this wasn't like.
He's a smart kid?
No.
No?
He's not dumb. That was the thing, is it seemed very routine and ordinary.
Yeah. My dad and I used to play chess when I was a kid. But
so I'm the only one in
here.
No, but
I don't think I could play a game without, like right now, without going, wait a minute, what does the horse thing do?
Right. Like, put it this way. Like, the only thing I really know about chess is the scene from The Wire where D'Angelo breaks it down. That's it.
Didn't we do this during the pandemic and we talked about the Queen's Gambit? I feel like we had our chess conversation. So I'm just going to go back to the
poll.
But
I never
question.
Acknowledged that I didn't. I was ashamed at the time. I've come to grips with my lack of chess.
Please do the reads.
Anyway, what were you talking about? Kintec?
This morning's Halford and Bruff Regal Grooming Lounge poll question.
Yes, Regal Grooming.
Who has a better chance of making the playoffs, the Blue Jays or the Canucks?
And then you get the little bald-headed guys. Those are pawns, right?
61% of voters say it is the Blue Jays still. 10 games remaining for the Jays. Four against the Twins. I'm doing it off the top of my head. Four against the Twins, three against the Yankees, and then three against the Orioles. Is that it? So that's like seven against a bad team and three against the team that they're kind of neck and neck with. So next week will be fun. I might have got that wrong. Who knows?
And then they all started talking about that show, The Queen's Gambit.
This hour of Halford and Bruff is also brought to you by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintech can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. Anything else to say about chess?
I think I'm tapped out.
Now look, check it. It's simple. It's simple. See this? This the kingpin.
You can't play most of this.
He the man.
I know. That's not all I wanted to play.
Cannot play most.
The CRTC would be down my throat.
What they refer to as the pawns, you can't play like half
no,
of it.
No.
But anyway, okay. We do have one more thing to add. What we learns, the 8 o'clock hour, all the fine stuff, Dan Murphy, all the things that you've heard in this hour. As mentioned, Kintech, very responsible for them. Also very responsible for them. The fine folks at the Delari family of Acura dealers. Get into a TLX today. If you don't do that, RDX. If you don't do that, MDX. There are multiple options available and three dealerships for you to check out all of those options.
The ILX too. Don't forget about the ILX.
How could I forget the I, as I call it? Hashtag ILX life. Visit them at North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the What We Learned music, then you're going to do your What We Learned, Dominic. Ready? Go.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn, a thirst for knowledge.
So, what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say, F*** the lemons and bail.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
I don't know if you guys are in the same boat as I am. But what we learned, my last reason for visiting the department store known as The Bay is no longer a thing. Because as of today, Lululemon is going to be outfitting our Olympic athletes until, I think, 2026.
No more Hudson Bay gear.
No more Hudson's Bay gear.
That's huge.
No more graffiti on jean jackets.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Red Mittens.
So all of our athletes are going to be walking into these big stadiums in tight pants and I don't know,
Have you been to a Lululemon?
I have.
Have you?
I'm wearing Lulu right now, actually.
I think there's a very archaic sports radio-esque understanding that Lululemon is still like what women wear to yoga.
It is what women wear to yoga.
Well, no, but they're...
I have a girlfriend. It's what she wears to yoga.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's about time that we realize that literally everybody in the city...
Wears Lulu, yeah.
Everyone in the city either wears Arc'teryx or Lululemon.
Or Herschel, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. There's like three... brands that everybody wears, right? And I know, like, Lululemon, we used to have this conversation, people would text into 1040 all the time. They make a pant for the guy that has to go to the office every day that kind of looks...
ABC pants, yeah.
Kind of looks like a dress pant, but also allows you to live like a slovenly pig. Like, in sweatpants.
Right,
like,
yeah. They're great. Yeah. They're stretchy. They feel good.
Right. And it's like, it's changed a lot of lives.
I think it's cool that Lululemon's been such a success story. Coming out, like, I remember the first store on 4th Avenue. I mean, it's amazing. We've had some, like, Aritzia's big, too. Mm-hmm. Remember Aritzia started in the back of Hills. I used to go to Hills for school shopping.
Hills of Carisdale.
Hills of Carisdale.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome a store. Pull.
What?
Hills of Carisdale.
You wouldn't know. You're from Surrey.
Yeah, I know. My aunt used to work in Carisdale.
Oh, well.
That's why I know.
That's my why aunt used to work in Carisdale.
Well, we used to be there all the
time.
Is
the worst flex of all time.
It wasn't a flex.
It kind of was. Like, my aunt, she used to work in Carisdale. No big deal. She worked at the TD Bank.
Not to brag.
We used to get our Big Star jeans from Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Big Star jeans.
Those were big.
They were.
My Akita jeans were, instead of a button on the belt loop, it had the little padlock. Do you remember those jeans?
No.
Yeah.
Padlock on jeans.
Yeah. Oh, I think it was like a subtle nod to like safe sex. There's no sex, but
what?
I think that was the idea behind it. Was a padlock on your crotch.
Halford went out at night and said, well, just better lock up before we get out.
He's like, what's the name of the jeans?
Girls are gonna be all over me tonight in these jeans.
They know,
the brand?
The thrill of the chase.
Forbidden fruit.
How do I pick that lock? That's what they want to know.
What's the name of the brand?
Ikeda.
The Ikeda chastities? Is that
I don't think it was like super intentional. It was the 90s.
I loved my Ikeda jeans. They had like the colorful fly.
Yeah, it was a series of
those were very comfortable jeans.
It was a series of international flags on the fly, followed by a tiny golden padlock where your button would normally
lock and key.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's do some.
This is good.
Some reader what we learns. I was going to do a quick what we learn. I'll do it anyway. I learned that I love Sunday's weather forecast for Vancouver because it is rain, heavy rain, and that means guilt-free couch time.
See, so for those that don't know what Jason's talking about here, he loves settling in for an afternoon where he can see the sports landscape on the horizon, specifically televised sports landscape. And you get, like, you're Homer Simpson. You develop your couch groove. You're not going to move for hours on end.
But you don't feel guilty about it because you look outside and you're like, well, it's not like I could go for a run or play golf or anything.
That's
you know?
The catch. Jason Brough is also one of those guys that can't just sit there and zone out. You're too cognizant of your surroundings. So you've done this before. You're like, man, I watched sports for 8 hours yesterday, but I felt guilty the entire time because it was nice and theoretically I should be taking advantage of this good weather and going outside. So everything is really lining up for you to have an epic Sunday. And quite frankly, all of our listeners, if it sucks outside and it's raining like crazy, you don't need to go outside. You're actually encouraged to stay inside.
Put the kids outside.
Right.
So they don't bother.
Let them run around in the yard.
Speaking of rain, how's the lawn doing?
Oh, it is. It's coming along.
Luscious, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And there's going to be some overseeding coming up soon. Spent some time on the lawn yesterday. Let's get to the listeners. What we learned, I learned that Jason has started to sound very similar to Norm MacDonald when cracking jokes lately. I've done this for years.
We both have.
I think I've done it more because I've been watching a lot of Norm MacDonald clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
I rip off Norm MacDonald. I rip off Tom Segura. Mm-hmm. And I rip off Will Arnett. Like, I'm not an original person.
No.
But I, you know what?
You are. That's why we've reached these very middle heights.
But you know what? It would be an interesting question to ask a top stand-up comedian. How did you come up with your, I don't want to say shtick, but like delivery? Like, you know how, like, you can tell a Norm MacDonald delivery or you can tell a Tom Segura joke. When Jim Carrey was popular, like, how many people talked like Jim Carrey, like Ace Ventura when he was like kind of in his comedic prime before he tried to get serious and all that
sort of stuff.
That's right, yeah. But like everyone would be like, oh, righty then, you know, like that sort of stuff.
Somebody
Nobody was original,
me.
Right?
That was very 90s.
Do you think Norm MacDonald, so I actually know that he did, like Norm MacDonald emulated Rodney Dangerfield a lot.
Yep.
So it's almost, you know.
But the deliveries weren't very similar.
Alrighty.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good pull.
But the deliveries aren't similar, but the kind of jokes are, the setups are in some ways.
Someone just texted in, quote, where do you get your ideas from? So that was a gag on when Norm had his Norm MacDonald Live on Netflix podcast. He's like, what's the stupidest, worst question you can ask anybody? And it's, where do you get your ideas from?
I've been listening. I guess Dennis Miller has a show.
He's still doing stuff, eh?
He is, and a lot of people have gone off him because of his political beliefs or whatever. But if you go onto YouTube and Google Norm MacDonald and Dennis Miller, there's like 3 hours of their phone conversations for Dennis Miller's show, which are unbelievably funny.
I'll have to check it out. Okay, we really need to focus here, don't we? I don't think we've read a single one. Did we do the Dot Matrix? Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Well, let's get to some of these flagged what we learns here. As I'm just sifting through an inbox now where they're talking about there's an International Clothiers. I remember that.
Benetton?
International Clothiers was a store that where the deals would be like buy two suits for $99.
Oh,
one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where like that suit's going to last maybe one night, and if it rains, then it's not. And, of course, we've got a lot of Jim Carrey lines from all of his favorite movies. So it's a mess. The Dunbar Lumber text line is a mess right now. Let's try and clean it up.
Adam, the former bath guy, texted in, what we learned, I learned that after breaking my right hand last week, I have no idea how left-handed people even live a normal life.
You got to go to the leftorium.
What I find amazing is the ambidextrous people that can just, like, if I try to write, like, I can barely write my name with my right hand. If I try to write something with my left hand, like, I can barely pick up the pen. Have you ever tried to shoot a basketball left-handed?
Yeah, I actually got pretty decent at it.
Oh, really?
When I was playing basketball, yeah.
I always cheated in, you know, in layup drills in high school, they'd be like, use your left hand. Yeah. When you come in on the left side, I'd be like, nah.
Yep, here comes the old up and under. Back to my right hand.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, you know what? I'm not making the NBA.
Yeah.
Leftorium is no morium.
All right.
That was the world's only left-handed stick shift, if I remember, at the Leftorium. Flanders was trying to sell that bad boy.
By the way, yeah, in Japan, they would have to... And England.
What are you doing there?
They stick shift with their left.
That's something you can do with your left hand, all right?
Yeah. Yes, they do, Dom.
Yeah.
Because the steering wheel is on the other side of the car. Yeah. He's not the best producer for nothing, folks.
Wait a minute. I was hearing someone say the other day, they were referencing that old thing that if you're left-handed, you should be in the you should be making Major League Baseball. Like, that's, you've been given a gift from God.
Or boxing.
Yeah, I suppose. Lefties, any sport I've ever played, I always find the left-handed or left-footed, whatever, they're always really difficult to deal with. They play the game at different angles. They come in at different angles. It just looks not like something that you're used to defending, and it really throws guys for a loop.
Hockey's interesting because they say that your dominant hand is supposed to be on the top of the stick.
Right.
But I was obviously not taught that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm not in the NHL. If I had not, like, I'm right-handed and I shoot right, but apparently the dominant hand is supposed to be on the top of the stick, and that's why you see so many left-handed players. Have you seen Phil Mickelson throw a football?
No.
Okay, so he obviously is a lefty golfer. That's his nickname. My Norm MacDonald impression. Lefty. That's his nickname.
Okay.
Lefty.
The football part.
He can absolutely zip a football, and he throws right.
Oh, he throws right?
He throws right, oh, okay. Yeah. He's an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah. I remember.
Professional one.
Yeah. He's got crazy
he
good
He does it professionally, like for a living.
Yeah. No, but like he, you know, obviously the big thing with Phil is like the crazy flop shots. He's obviously got good hands, but you know when you can see a guy, I feel like throwing a football is like a great
barometer
for how good an athlete is.
Yeah.
You know, you see a guy and you're like, oh, you can throw a football. That's good. And then you see someone and you're like, yikes.
Well, then there's Conor McGregor throwing.
Right. It's not unlike what we were talking about.
But that's true. It can be deceptive sometimes. Right? It can be deceptive sometimes.
Well, no. Like, if you can't know, like, I think less of Conor McGregor after seeing that first pitch.
Did you hear what he said?
You should tell him that.
Well, am I going to say it? Well, I guess I could. Well, actually, you can't say anything to his face because he loses his mind right away.
Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to beat up Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly.
He defended it by saying he threw the hardest first pitch in baseball history. That was his defense.
He definitely did,
right?
Not.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it was really bad. And the Carl Lewis one.
Oh, my.
The Carl Lewis one, like, it goes 4 feet and then just dies into the ground. Like, yeah, that's the thing. If you're a professional athlete, it shouldn't be that hard to throw something. It really shouldn't. But I guess some people that don't do sports that involve balls. I'll never forget a guy told me one time. He was a really good athlete. He was a kayaker. But we went and played football on the ball. Like, he's like, I don't play sports with balls because I find they often hit me in the face. Oh, did you say all of that out loud and earnestly? But he said, like,
were you talking to Tobias?
He said he couldn't catch. He's like, I have athletic ability, but it doesn't ever, like, stem over to hand-eye coordination. I'm getting hit in the face with balls constantly.
Yikes.
And I was like, that is a thing you definitely said out loud.
Burnaby Bob texts in with what we learned. Canucks training camp is like the Fyre Festival. All this hype and the two main attractions don't even show.
Well, there's a little bit more going on at Fyre Festival than two main attractions not showing up.
Wonder if they get served really crappy sandwiches for lunch.
You know what? I've seen that documentary twice, and I applaud.
Was it funnier the second
time?
It was funnier the second time. All these terrible people.
I applaud that guy for not backing down. Like, even though you knew it was going to be a disaster, they just kept going ahead. That takes balls. That really does.
You respect that level of testicular fortitude.
Right, because at a certain point, you know it's time to pull the plug and end this charade. But he just kept going and going and going to the point where they were like, maybe if we just give them cheese and bread, they'll be okay. And they thought, like, maybe we'll get away with it. I respect that level of bravado.
James at the lake with what we learned. What we learned. The amazing part about Petey and Hughes not being at camp is it isn't surprising with Benning at the helm. Nothing better than putting last year behind you by picking right up where we left off in a sea of drama and behind the eight ball right out of the gate.
This is standard fare, what's going on right now.
Well, this isn't around the league right now. Most people got their RFA signed.
Traditionally, we've done this long enough. How many RFA?
Well, we predicted that this would happen, that it would go into training camp, this negotiation, because it is complicated, because it is two of them, and the Canucks have cap constraints.
I want to not be house radio, so I want to preface it by saying that. But this is one thing where I don't think you can pile on the organization. This is just how business goes when it comes to these second contracts. These second contracts are really tough to work out. We had Drance on the show earlier, and he said on multiple occasions, they can often be the most complex of any of the contracts. Free agent contracts are easy, right? You take a guy out to Blue Water, you give him a bunch of money, boom, he's your guy. These ones are much more complex. And that's all I'm saying.
I still think they'll get it done. Yeah, I still think they'll get it done. Well, I mean, you said that you don't expect it to get done until right before the regular season
starts.
And
I also don't think that'll matter. I feel like two guys in their early 20s can train off ice and not have to partake in a couple of...
It's not training, though. It's the team systems. It's the structure of the team.
They play those exhibition games at like 30%, if that.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
like,
I know.
And maybe they got some rust in their first game, and then it gets knocked off. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. It's like, wow, this guy looks really good despite having not played in the preseason.
I think the worry is that the Canucks want to go into the season with positive momentum and all guns firing. And if they don't have Petey and Hughes in the lineup, then that's not possible.
Do we remember what happened with Millie Nylander? We're just going to ignore what happened there?
He missed like 3 months of the season. I mean, if it gets to that level, that's a whole different conversation.
But then when he came back.
There were incentives for the Leafs back then to actually keep him out.
When he came back, he stunk. But that wasn't surprising.
I think that's what people are worried about.
Well, if they're worried about that, then they're going way too far down the road.
Well, to at least worry about it, to at least think, like, how might this affect their individual performances. I think that it's perfectly fair for two guys who we had a poll question the other day, who has the most to prove? Pettersson wasn't at his best last season. Hughes, I don't think, wasn't at his best. No disrespect to what Jack Hughes said. I think they both, I recognize their talents and the things that they can do at an elite level, but they still have a lot of growing to do as players. And you know who agrees with me? Travis Green.
Someone just texted in, Europeans can't throw footballs. Now, I think this is actually true. Do you remember that video that the Canucks put out a long time ago?
We talked about this before.
They were playing pickup football, and Yannick Hansen and Alex Edler looked at it like it was a live grenade.
Right.
Like, what is this oblong shape, and what am I supposed to do with it? They were like holding it by the tip and like chest passing it to each other.
Right.
I'm like, that's not how you do
it. Is it like handball?
That's not how you do it.
And the Canucks were like, what's handball?
What are you guys doing? Why are you spiking into the ground so often?
The official financial sponsor of Halford & Brough is ZLC Financial, your one-stop solution for all your financial and retirement needs in Vancouver. ZLC has been around a long time in the Vancouver market, and for good reason. To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.
Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Smoking!
I feel like if I watched The Mask again, I'd be like,
Smoking! Oh, I don't think it would have a lot of entertainment value now.
Ace Ventura does.
See, it holds up.
Yeah.
Actually, it really doesn't. It really doesn't.
Jim Carrey for a while was the funniest guy on the planet, right? Who's the funniest guy in the world right now?
That's a hell of a question. Who's considered the best stand-up guy right now?
Would it be Kevin Hart, or is he overrated?
I'm not a, no.
No,
it's
but
not
I,
for me.
I,
no, he's
I,
popular. He's popular.
That's
he's
what
popular.
I'm saying.
Very
that's
popular.
What I'm saying.
For me, it's Will Arnett, and just because I love Smartless so much. Mm-hmm. Tom Segura.
Tom Segura is extremely popular. Bill Burr is really popular.
Bill Burr is great. I didn't like Bill Burr at first, but now I really like
Jerry
Bill
Seinfeld's
Burr.
Still alive, so yeah. I assume that he has to be in the conversation.
Like, for example, if a stand-up special came out, I'd be excited for Segura, Bill Burr.
Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yeah, well. Dave Chappelle.
We can't forget Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. John Mulaney.
He's going through some stuff right now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, it's not funny, but John Mulaney does not look like he has those issues. And he makes fun of that, too. He's like...
I've seen the bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we gotta kind of move things along here. What business do we need to attend
please
to?
Please tell the fine folks about UNICEF and how they can help.
Right, so the pandemic ends for no one until it ends for everyone. UNICEF is leading the procurement and delivery of 2 billion COVID-19 vaccines to countries across the world. An effort of this scale has never been done before. By donating to UNICEF Canada by September 30th, Canadians have the opportunity to make a difference and support the vaccination of millions of people in lower-income countries. Every dollar donated by September 30th will be matched by the Canadian government. Donate today at unicef.ca, or you can text VACCINES to the number 45678, and that will donate $10. Okay. Oh, we're getting a million. I feel bad for... Rinty sometimes, because he's got to come in here on the heels of this show and sift through the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, which is a mix of weird clothing stores native to Vancouver in the 90s, the best stand-up comedians currently going on, the Canucks training camp. How to throw a football. Like, it's just a mess right now. Like, and that's the show in a nutshell. Speaking of the show.
Like, a lot of angry messages towards Dom here.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, I guess Ricky Gervais would have been a good choice in that conversation.
Sorry,
as
finish
well.
Your thought. Speaking of the show.
Speaking of the show, tomorrow is day two of Canucks training camp. So we are going to have Ian McIntyre.
Day two, the Canucks work on crossovers.
How many guys will show up? They do the bag skate today. That's good. That was the annual Troy Stetcher pukes day.
Right, right. That's the worst.
Who's going to carry the mantle over
maybe
to
that's
that one?
Maybe that's what Horvat is doing, just a veteran move. Sutter, too.
Just taking off from the bag skates.
So, yeah. I'll see you Saturday. Yeah.
That was Troy Stetcher's brand, though, I think, after a while. It's like when he didn't puke, they got upset. Yeah. Just like that wrestler, puke.
He'd actually have a big breakfast just to make sure that he threw up. Because like, I'm Troy Stetcher, and that's what I do.
It's like Michael Scott doing the 5K when he ate like 8 pounds of Alfredo. Before he had a carbo load. Got a carbo load before the big run. But you don't do it right before the big run. So anyway, we're going to have Ian McIntyre from camp tomorrow. We're going to have, hopefully, someone from the Canucks organization, because that didn't pan out today. Dom has his fingers crossed behind the board there. So that'll either be a player, front office executive, or a coach. We are hoping that that will get done, and we can have that locked in for tomorrow. Also, tomorrow, it's Friday, so we're going to have Brady Henderson from ESPN's NFL Nation on. Seahawks, a 1.5 point favorite in Minnesota. So a road favorite, but a slim road favorite. And that's a big game for the Seahawks because they've got the Niners and Rams, right?
And we've got a bet because we've bet $100. I think the Seahawks are going to go into that game against the Rams. At 3-1.
Right.
And I think they'll be anything but that.
And what did we bet? Dom's life?
My annual salary of $100.
Right.
Right. I think it was $100.
Before
so,
tax.
So that's a must win for my bet. They can't lose a game. They have to beat the Vikings and they have to beat the 49ers. So that's a big one there. Also, tomorrow is Ask Us Anything Friday on the program. I'll start putting the call out now to get them in. Text them to the Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. Ask us anything you want. It can be about Canucks training camp. It can be about Ikea jeans. Anything. We will answer it.
Yeah, there's another text. Oh my God, Big Star jeans. Those are my favorite. They were expensive though. That was a Christmas present.
Big Star jeans?
The Big Stars, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried them on, though. I was so skinny. Like, I was really skinny in high school. Believe it or not. Skinny and slow. Is that a good combination for sports?
It's a winner. Another reason why you might not have
been a pro athlete. He wasn't great at rugby. But the Big Stars never, I never felt comfortable in them.
Do they still exist? Can you get Big Star jeans anymore?
What about Diesel?
Diesel's still very much a thing.
Right.
Yeah. They're top shelf jeans too.
Okay.
They're not down there with the Kirkland jeans. They're right up there. Top shelf jeans.
Well, I mean, we're kind of reaching the age now where are we...
I haven't worn a pair of jeans in like a year. We don't need to go.
Dom, do we have to go? Do
we really need to go?
We want to talk about jeans.
I know.
Denim
what kind
Dan
of jeans
here.
Do you
Bill
like,
Daly's
Dom?
Coming up on Scotty's show for Who? Late. He's going to be pissed with
what
me.
What kind of jeans does Bill Daly wear?
Does he wear
bedazzled
jeans?
Ones from True Religion.
Nice. Is he shopping the same place as Rob Gray? All right, we got to get out of here. Signing off, I have been Mike Alford. He's been Jason Bruff. He's been Nephew Dom. This has been the Alford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.